everyone. Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent Young. I'm here with Alan Small, and we are looking forward to helping you endure. And we're kind of weird, Alan. I think people, if you've listened to us at all, you recognize that. And some of the best wisdom we find is from weird quotes. And so we're going to talk through some of that today, Alan. So get us started, man.
Yeah, you know, we use quotes every now and then, and maybe a couple of these might sound familiar. Some of them we haven't used. I can assure you of that. But there are some things that we were thinking about, some quotes maybe that ring true now that when we were younger, we might not have really taken so much for granted. And so the first one that I was taught, and this came from Keith Wigginton. His son is actually a pastor in Oklahoma. Keith retired several years ago. He was at First Altus when I was a young pastor. And, you know, he would always remind us that a dull pencil is better than a sharp mind. And, you know, I've wrestled with that one over the years because, you know, I always want to have a sharp mind. But that the truth is, I don't remember much of anything.
Yeah, that's the struggle. You know, Alan and I are both in our 50s now, and the more we get older, we realize we don't remember those things near as well as we did when we first got into ministry. And so being able to have something, we've told you before, if you've listened to this, that we use Evernote all the time. And so something like that, something that you can write down those ideas, because God gives you ideas, it seems like, at the weirdest times, the strangest times. And so make sure and write those down. I have a whole bunch of Evernote files of sermon ideas that I, you know, can go back and look at when I'm not feeling like I know where I'm going. Those are great.
Yeah, writing things down or recording those things, you know, if maybe you're more of an audio person, you want to use your audio files on your phone or something, but don't trust your memory. And that is so frustrating. You know, even last night, I was thinking about my upcoming series and my upcoming message as we're recording this. It's the week before Easter. And I'm thinking about my Easter message, and there was something really cool I wanted to say, but I was laying in bed. I didn't write it down, and now I can't remember what it was. But it was really profound. I mean,
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I wish I remembered what it was.
Yeah,
maybe it'll come to me during the podcast, and if I eureka in the middle of the podcast, we'll know why.
Yeah, or if he just disappears because he's run off to another room to write it down.
Yeah, so no doubt about it.
But we want to, that's one of the things I think that will help you to endure is to keep notes, write down things. Sermon planning can be tough sometimes. You can feel like you've got things down. And just like Alan said, I've done the same thing in the middle of the night. We think of something, and if we don't write it down, we're not going to remember it. And so we want God to lead us in our sermons. And so I want to write those things down. So a dull pencil is definitely better than a sharp mind. Maybe it's a sharp pencil is better than a dull mind. I fit that one better.
There you go. I like that. Well, you know, you and I have both been fans of John Maxwell. And one of the ones that he said, and I got to tell you, my wife hates this one because she hates the little rhyming thing. But it goes, teamwork makes the dream work. And I don't know about you, but I've tried at times to be a little bit of a lone ranger in ministry. And over the years, I've realized that just does not work out very well.
That is absolutely true. We've talked about that several times on our podcast, haven't we, Alan, that you need to have people around you. I think that in our denomination, we have associations. I think those are really important to help pastors. You know, I was part of a small group of pastors that met in our state yesterday that was really helpful to me. I wrote down all kinds of ideas that I gained from them. And so that, you know, not only in your church, you need a team, you need to develop a team, but you also outside of your church as a pastor, if you can gather some guys around you, that is a huge help to endure.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, Trent, when we talk about that is that self-awareness too, of recognizing where you are lacking and making sure that you surround yourself with people who can help you where you're weak. Because we tend to, when we're younger in ministry, think that we don't have those blind spots, or we tend to think that, oh, I can do that, but I'm not good at that. And you need to have people around you who are. You know, I don't consider myself to be a strong counselor type. I'm too busy thinking about responses, and I'm not as strong in active listening at times as I should be. It depends sometimes, I guess, more on the circumstance, but recognizing that was important, and recognizing I just need to have a list of counselors, and recognize that where some pastors have a rule, you know, three times and I'm sending you out, you know, if it's not an area I'm comfortable with, it's one time and here you go, you know, and that's okay. You need to know who you are and what your strengths are, and you need to balance those things out with people who can help you.
That's really good advice. I know that looking at myself, I am not the best at the monotonous administrative things. To me, they seem monotonous. To others, they're like, oh, these are so great. But and so I've put together a team at my church that I have people that take care of, you know, some of those things, and they do so good at them because they enjoy them. And together we work really well. And our church is the beneficiary of that as well.
Yeah, that add to ministry. They add to the minister, if you will let them do their work. And so we want them to be able to add in their ministry. But you know, we all have dreams and desires, but if you climb a mountain, you know, if you think about your churches and you're all climbing a mountain on a journey together, and you get to the top and you're the only one there, what good did you really do? Make sure you take others and let them fulfill their role in ministry as well. And that's just hugely important. It's a really a philosophy as much as it is just practical advice to make sure that you don't go alone. Well, you know, Trent, I my favorite TV show of all time, it was the show Magnum P.I., the old school Magnum P.I., you know, Tom Selleck, big mustache, little red car. And there was a line in there, and it happened, you know, I remember that line. I rewatched an episode, and it was about the time that Magic Johnson had retired from basketball. He announced that he was HIV positive, and that really caught the world in a kind of a huge uproar at the time. And, you know, I was in seminary, and there was no shortage of comments about the situation. And I remembered this line from Magnum P.I., and I've tried to carry it with me since. But the character Higgins said this. He said, "Nothing good comes from tarnishing a hero." And I thought, man, that is a good piece of advice. And I've really tried to remember that we don't want to talk badly about people. And if you're a young pastor, I'll tell you the first place that you're tempted to do that is talking about your predecessor. Mm. And you want to be careful with that. To someone, he was their spiritual hero. And yes, the pastor before you had faults and wasn't perfect, just like you. And nothing good comes from tarnishing someone's hero.
Boy, that is so good, Alan. And it's really good to remember, just as you said, as a new pastor coming in or young pastor, you know, celebrate those people that have gone in the past, because it develops that sense of pride in your church too. Your church folks there, like, hey, you know, our church. And if it's true, I've told our church this, and I've told other churches, that God has placed your church there on purpose for a purpose. And if that's true, then he has also placed those pastors in the past there on purpose for a purpose. And so celebrate those people. But, you know, it seems, Alan, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems today in our culture that is the big deal, is to knock down everybody I think we're so insecure that we have to make everybody else look bad to make us feel bad. And if you look in the culture and the news and everything, it's we've got to make other people look bad.
Yeah, social media has really had a negative effect on this part of who we are, you know. And let's be honest too, Trent. I mean, there are some who've opened the door for their name to be tarnished. But let's let the circumstances stand on their own. Let's not be people who jump on an easy pile. You know, you and I, we recently had a conversation about basically us having integrity in ministry and enduring and not making the bad choices. You know, live your life in such a way to recognize that could be you. If you don't take care of yourself and you don't do the right things, that could be you. And remember that God still loves the fallen person. He loves fallen people. He loves victims who've been hurt and abused. He loves everybody. And we need to find a way to love everybody, those who've hurt us. And it's just important. So, you know, let's not waste our time dragging other people down. Really, heroes or not, let's find a way to lift other people up.
Yeah, that's right, Alan. And it's, I mean, just think about who we are as a church, as followers of Jesus Christ, who embodied forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Then we should be people who do the same, that we embody grace and mercy and forgiveness. I think that the church should be known for that. Let's not knock down people. Let's lift them up. Let's we're not going to celebrate sin, but we're going to show that God loves people. And so we should as well.
Yeah, that one is just, to me, that's, it's funny that you remember something from a TV show like that, but that one really has had an impact in my life. You know, John Stott is probably my favorite theologian when I read him, Trent. And one of the ones that he had written was that the purpose of prayer is emphatically not to bend God's will to ours, but rather to align our will to his. Mm. And, you know, I would say that's maybe not a super quirky statement. But when I think about my prayer life when I was younger versus my prayer life now, boy, do I sense that more and more.
That, yes, absolutely. And you know, sometimes I think, especially if you're a young believer, you begin to go into prayer thinking, okay, God is my heavenly slot machine and I'm pulling the handle. I'm praying, putting in my coins of prayer and he's going to fill all my needs the way that I expect him to. And so this quote that you just mentioned, that the purpose of prayer is emphatically not to bend God's will to ours, but rather to align our will to his, that is so true. And it reminded me of another quote, Alan, that I had heard a while back. I don't remember who said it, but the purpose of worship is to move us off the throne of our lives and put God back in his rightful place. I think those go together. You know, God is the one who is God and I'm not. Praise God that I am not God.
Right.
He does much better at it than I would.
Yeah, you know, I think when we were younger in ministry, it was like, well, God, we need you to do this. God, we need you to do that. God, we need you to do this. And right now it's more like, God, I know you're doing it. Let me jump in. Where do you need me? What do you want me to do? You know, I'm going to use a kind of a sports example here. The Denver Nuggets have a pretty good basketball team, and they just had the NBA trade deadline. And they brought back a player they had when he was younger, a guy named JaVale McGee. He's a backup center. And when he was here before, he really wanted to be kind of like the go-to person. He thought, well, I should be the guy. And he was traded away. And now he's back, and they're asking him, well, what's different? He goes, well, I was young, and at times I didn't have my head on straight, but now I'm a dad, I'm an investor, I'm thinking about my future. You know, I've won some championships, and I know my place, and I know what I'm here for, and I'm here to help. And I think that change is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that same thing happen in Carmelo Anthony. You know, I thought beginning that he had to be the guy. in the middle of all the plays. And I don't know if he's learned the lesson yet, but yeah, good example. Good example.
Yeah, he's certainly learned a lot of that. And so it's neat to see that. And I think you see that, but I think that's a sign of maturity too. I mean, you know, you see that in all great athletes, you know, recognizing that they don't have to do it all, that they have to get other people to help. But I think it's also that idea of trusting others around you. And in our case, trusting the God who is around us and letting him have his way.
Yeah, Alan, I want to say, you know, what you said about being young and you grow in those things, I think God takes you through times. I can tell you now that it's easier for me to pray and say, God, I trust you, than it was even 5 years ago. God takes us through things to where we need to and have to trust him. And now I can say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, what's going on, but I trust you completely. I know you have my best interest at heart.
Yeah, those of us who've been around a while remember the old Twyla Paris song, Do I Trust You, Lord? And that's one that every now and then will pop back in my head and ask myself that question. Lord, am I trusting you? Am I trusting you today? Well, Trent, you had one yesterday, and this isn't one we've known our whole lives and we're carrying through ministry, but yeah, it's just too good not to share. And it's true because we look back on it and reflect on it today. So share this one with us. I love this.
Well, yeah, I heard, I told you that I was part of a small group of pastors that met in our state yesterday. And one of the guys said something. He said he couldn't remember who said it first, so I'm going to plagiarize and just tell you what he said. But a dog can whoop a skunk, but it's not worth the fight. That's the quote that he said. And so, you know, you got to pick your battles wisely. You may be right sometimes, but sometimes it's not worth the stink afterwards. So I think that's a great quote.
Man, when I was younger, I jumped into every fight I could jump into. You know, I mean, it was just one of those things, you know, oh yeah, you want to argue about paint color? I'm in. Yeah, you know, foolish things to jump into every fight. Pick the battles. There should not be just tons of fights that you fight in ministry. Mm-hmm. It's foolish. You know, in Romans, I was reading this week about, you know, don't jump into foolish arguments with those who are weaker. Just love them.
That's right. It makes me think of, I had some kids when I was doing college ministry as a BSU director, BCM director years ago. They were super dogmatic about stuff. And they're like, man, they'd, you know, get into huge debates. I had one student that came to me a few years later at a conference. He found me and he said, I just wanted to apologize. I was such a jerk in college. And I was like, I didn't want to agree with him right there, but I was like thinking, yep, you were. But hey, God's really worked in you and you're doing great now. So I wanted to cheer him on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we get so sidetracked. And for us to reach the masses today, for us to reach people who are disengaged from church, and there's a report that came out yesterday that for the first time really in our nation's history, fewer people consider themselves to be a church member than ever before. We have some problems, and I think one of the problems is that they see too much fighting in the church about the things that aren't important, and they see too much of that dogmatic nature. You know, a church that doesn't have room to let people experience the doubts and the frustrations that they're working through, you know, it's fighting the wrong fight. You know, I remember in seminary, Calvin Miller taught, and he said, you know, really the first confession of faith is, yes, I believe the Bible. And that's really where people begin. If you believe God's word, then you're going to receive God's word. But we have to give room for people to absorb that. And what does it mean to believe the Bible? And we got to let them wrestle really through that process.
I agree. And I've told people a lot of times that I believe discipleship starts way before salvation. Unfortunately, we begin to put in place discipleship after somebody receives Christ, but somebody has to go through just what you said, Alan, all those steps of kind of wrestling through that to understand what God has done for them beforehand, before they can receive that and place their faith in him. So, yeah, I agree absolutely with that.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. I love it that we shouldn't jump into every fight. So, yeah. Pastors, if you're out there and you're feeling kind of backed into a corner, remember sometimes the best thing you can do is run up to someone and be like Mr. Miyagi, and instead of punching them, just kind of grab their nose and smile at them. So don't literally grab someone's nose. Bad time for that. But I hope you get the idea there. Have some fun. You know, try to turn the fight into friendliness and see what happens. Well, there's one more I really like. And Patrick Lencioni is probably my favorite business book writer. One, he writes short books and they tend to be stories, and I can get into that. But he said this, he said, if everything is important, then nothing is important. If you are leading a church today, especially in post-COVID, as we're trying to reemerge into this world, if everything you're doing and we're doing is important, then you have lost your focus. Stay focused. Stay gospel-centered. Stay simple.
What a great word, focus. We talked about that Sunday. I asked our folks to pray for focus, and I think that's very true. You know, we can't do the shotgun approach to life and ministry. God has made us who we are. Just as I said before, he's placed us, our church, where they are on purpose for a purpose. He's placed us, not just the pastor, but every believer in that church there on purpose for a purpose. And so focus in, you know, be yourself. Don't try to be, you know, somebody. Your church shouldn't try to be somebody they're not. You know, reach those people that God has placed you there to reach them, and focus on the things that God wants you to focus on.
Yeah, you know, I think we've made so many subordinate ministries in our church so important that at times we lose the gospel focus. You know, churches can get so busy in their church calendar, you know, and I find myself fighting that. Yesterday I was thinking about, well, we just had two events come off our church webpage. Because we had a movie night and then we had a Seder, and we had those as events on our webpage. Well, we need more events. You know, our event page is going to look bare. And then I'm almost kicking myself for having those thoughts, because events for event's sake is fruitless. And so, you know, again, if everything is important, nothing is important. You've got to know what is important, you know, and we heard that saying, you know, through seminary, and it's been so popular so long, keep the main thing the main thing. And usually when someone says keep the main thing, they've got something else in mind. It's always seemed, it has seemed to me, but we do need to remember that we are a people of the gospel. We're a people of the cross and of the resurrection, and that it always needs to be about Jesus. And we need to keep that very clear.
Such a good word. Yeah. You know, one of the things I think God has worked through this time of COVID and all that is for us to prune our calendars, to prune our activities, and to realize that we don't always have to have all of those activities. And so, just as Alan said, sometimes it's better not to have a full calendar. I think we can enjoy and we can learn, we can enjoy relationships, and we can enjoy God a little bit more when we're not running frantically from one event to another. So that's a good word.
So anyway, you probably have some quotes out there we didn't cover, ones that have stuck with you, especially we want to hear those really quirky, odd ones out there. So if you've got some of those, we want to hear them. So send them to us, put them on our Facebook page, email them to us. You can email me at Alan at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. So email us, again, our Facebook page. We would love to hear from you. We want your ideas. We want to help you endure. And the only way we can help you endure is by hearing from you and finding out where we can go to help you. So Trent, do you have any final words for folks today?
Well, yeah, please do let us know. And if there's an issue that you're struggling with, We may not know the answer, but we're certainly willing to walk with you and help you to find the answers, maybe talk to some other people that we know. But if there's an issue that you're struggling with your church or your ministry, your family, please let us know. Just like Alan said, we want to be someone who walks alongside you to help you endure. And so thank you again so much for being a part of this time. And we look forward to being with you on our next episode.